You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
All right, well, praise God. Y'all ready to get in the Word?
Yes.
All right. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12. I want to talk to you this evening about thoughts. I love this subject because it's something that has helped me. In my past is rooted in a bunch of stuff, a bunch of ungodly stuff. I guess all our past obviously was, but thoughts really came alive to me and I started studying on it and started really looking into it. And of course, you know, listening to other people talk on thoughts and different things. And it just really intrigued me. I think thoughts are really, we underestimate thoughts. Sometimes we don't really talk about thoughts enough. You know, we talk about confession. It's wonderful. I think confession, but there's something that really goes before confession. It's really thoughts. Thoughts is what really starts your confession. It's what you think about on a daily basis. Is, you know, your character is summed up in all your thoughts. It is summed up in all your thoughts. If you want to know what your character is, you just, what do you think about on a daily basis? That's your character. What you think about, the complete total of all you think about, that is your character. You know, so thoughts are very, very, very important. It's important what we think about ourselves. It's important what we think about our families. It's important what we think about our jobs and whatever else, whatever we set our hand to. It's important what you think about on a daily basis. So just to give you a little story, you guys probably heard this, but there's this boy. Actually, there was this group of people doing a study on kids and stuff, doing, you know, I guess child psychologists or something, just working with these kids and behaviors and patterns and different things about kids. And they put each kid in a room, and they would put the first room, they put toys just surrounded just everywhere, toys everywhere. Put the kid in there and just watch these kids and watch what they did and their behaviors and stuff. And there's just these kids, you know, they did a study like on 10 kids, and there's just all these kids are just getting after it. I mean, just playing with these toys and just having a good time. But this one kid, this one boy, was in that room and just didn't do anything at all. He was just kind of complacent and didn't really care to be there. And they were just really puzzled by that. So they put these kids, these other 10 kids also, these 10, into a room with full of horse manure. You know, one by one first, and studying them and just seeing them. And all the kids, the 9 kids, were just like, ew, you know, they were just grossed out by it. But this one kid who didn't like the toy room, was in this room, and he was just throwing poop everywhere. He was just getting after diving in it, swimming in it, and he was just, you know, moving it out of the way. And they were just intrigued by this. They were like, little boy, what are you doing? He's like, well, he said, I seen all this poop in here. I knew there had to be a horse in here somewhere. You see, it's important what you think. This kid thought there was a horse in there. His reasoning was that all this poop had to be in here, so I knew there had to be a horse in here somewhere. Somewhere. Romans chapter 12. All right. Hallelujah. We'll read verse 1 and 2, and we're going to probably come back to this later on in the message. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think, say think, of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You know, I think for the most part, we don't think enough of ourselves. I think there's really there's two extremes on one side of the ditch or the other. You know, we need a balance. I think the one extreme is that we think that we're worms, we're not good enough, we're just, you know, if God wants to do it, he'll do it, and all that, you know, that area like that. And then there's the other extreme where we're just high-minded, we think, you know, we're just overboard in a lot of things, and we're thinking too highly of ourselves, it's all about us. But there's a middle ground where I think God wants us. Yes, we need to think. He didn't say not to think. Did you see that? He didn't say, he said not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but you ought to think. And so we ought to think what God thinks about us. If it says we're the righteousness of God, then we're righteous. If he says that we're healed, then we're healed. If he says that we're free, then we're free. If he says that we can do all things, then we can do all things. So that is not high-minded. That's actually godly-minded. That's exactly the way that God expects us to think. So we need to think what he says about ourselves, about our lives, about our finances, about everything. Whatever he says, that's what we need to think. That's being in order. That's being in balance. Don't get to that one extreme where, you know, there's just certain camps where they're just, you know, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. I can't do it. Am I righteous? God forbid. I'm not going to say I'm righteous. No. You know, I'm a worm. All those kinds of things. But no, that's what do they call that? False humility. That's a false humility. We need to just walk in the fact and get our minds and our mindsets thinking the way God thinks about us. It's very, very important that we think the way God thinks about us, because that'll bring victory. That'll bring a freedom. That'll bring peace. That other extreme, that other way will bring just torment, all this other stuff. There's no peace there. So Romans chapter 3, Romans 12, we covered that. Turn to Proverbs 13. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to give you some nuggets of truth here in a few minutes about thoughts. Romans chapter 13. Proverbs 13. I'm sorry. Proverbs 13. In verse 2 and 3. It says, "A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." You see, before we ever, here is talking about the mouth, talking about you guarding your mouth. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. But before you ever, before the mouth is ever opened up and you begin to say those confessions of faith, or you watch what you say, there's a thought pattern. There's patterns that are being developed in our minds. And listen to me, actions don't happen without thoughts. You never do something first before you think it. You ever done that? If you have, I'll pray for you in here, because it's impossible. You can't do something without thinking it first. I'm going to go to the store. You thought it. You did it. You always think it before you do it. And there's things in our lives that, see, the world, Romans 12, so we'll go there. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "Be not conformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." Well, what the world is trying to do to us, and we live in the world, we're there, we're in the world, but we're not of this world, we're in it. And what the world's trying to do is conform us to its way of thinking. You know, through TV, through media, through news, everything, especially news. I mean, every time you look at news, there's always something bad in it. It's trying to press itself into our thinking of negative, of fear, and all these things. So the word conform means to be pressed into, pressed into. And what I think about, the example that comes to mind always is a Jell-O mold. You know, you make Jell-O. You have a mold, whether it's just a regular round bowl dish or whatever. And you open that package of Jell-O and you mix it with water and you put it in there and you put it in the refrigerator and it makes a mold. You can dump it out and it makes the exact same mold. It's the same. They're alike. One's, you know, obviously Jell-O, and the other one's the molding. That's exactly what the world is trying to do to us. It's trying to press us into this mold of its way of thinking. And so what we have to do is be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to think different than what we're being exposed to, the world, the world's way of thinking. So that's why it's very important that we get in the Word of God, that we allow the Word of God to shape our minds, to begin to transform our minds, to think the way that God thinks in every situation in our lives. It's very, very critical that we allow His Word, the Bible, the Word of God, and His way of doing things and thinking to take over our lives. So it's very, very important. Listen to these nuggets of truth here. What we believe is a result of our thinking. What you believe is a result of what you've been thinking. what somebody's told you, maybe a belief about something. Maybe have somebody ever told you something, it wasn't true, but you just you heard that thought and you believed it. And you come to find out, and that's not true. But see, your believing was based on what you thought, your thinking. If we think wrong, we'll believe wrong. If our believing is wrong, then our confession will be wrong. But before it ever hit the confession stage, it was first in our thoughts, in what we believed. Every thought, listen to this, every thought is a seed. Everything, every thought that comes up in your mind is a seed. You must ask yourself this question, do I want to grow it? Do I want to grow that? Do I want to eat that? Because it's a seed. Every seed you plant will reap a harvest, good or bad. Doesn't matter. That's just the principle that got set in motion and set. So if you need to ask yourself, every thought that comes up, and that's why the Bible clearly says in Corinthians that we need to cast down every thought and imagination that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. You got to cast, how do you cast them down? How do you cast those thoughts down? You replace it. Whatever that thought was, you replace it with what God says. You just replace it. You're basically plucking that weed up. But the more that you meditate or you give thought, more thought to those impure thoughts, negative thoughts, you know, thoughts of failure, thoughts of doubt, all those things, the more that you begin to give place to those things, the more you're watering those things. And now listen to me, it's a seed. It's not going to produce overnight. But it will produce if you do not pluck it, if you do not deal with it. I know a lady that she, true story. I mean, sad story, but it's a true story. It just shows you the power of confession, the power of thinking, what you believe. But there was this lady actually in Brownsboro. Heard the story. I knew her, but I wasn't real close to her. But she had this thing that people heard her say. She said, "I wish I was dead. I just wish I was dead." Just kept saying that. It wasn't a one-time deal, but she just kept saying, "I wish I was dead. I mean, my life stinks. I wish I was dead." Over a period of time, she was going to over the tracks in Brownsboro. I don't know if you guys ever been to Brownsboro, but there used to be, like, when you're going on the railroad tracks, there's like trees right. You can't really see a train was coming until you were actually right up on it, and both ways. And they since then have, you know, cleared the tree lines and stuff, so you can actually see a lot further. But she was going over the railroad tracks, and she was hit by a train. It wasn't just herself in the car. She had one of her kids and a kid, or a friend of the kid, which was somebody else's kid. So this is powerful, because you start thinking about, because of her negative thinking, because of her negative confession, it killed three people. Herself, her kid, and someone else. Now you can say, well, that was just a coincidence, if you want to call it that. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think the Bible says you'll eat, well, we just read it. The Bible says you'll eat well by the fruit of your mouth, whether good or bad. Whatever you're speaking, you will eat that fruit. Whatever you're thinking, well, like I said, eventually comes into the form of a confession out of your mouth. Well, it drops into your heart, because the Bible says out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Your mouth will fly open. Okay? So listen to me. I want to say this, and don't think I'm speaking heresy or anything. Okay? I'm not. I'll clarify. You yourself are the maker of yourself. You literally are. Now, let me clarify that. I'm not saying that you created yourself. You and your own ability can do it all by yourself. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is this. You have the awesome responsibility to control your destiny. You do. But listen to me, you could kill yourself today if you wanted to. I mean, it's your choice. So God left that up to us, that responsibility to steward our thoughts. We're going to look in here in a minute in Scripture. I may just skip there. But it talks about how you're the gatekeeper of your... The Bible says, guard your heart and affections, or guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 4, I believe it is. Guard, keep your heart. Guard it, protect it. That word heart there refers to mind, will, and intellect. If you look it in the concordance, it means mind, will, and intellect in that particular verse. So he's saying, guard your mind, for out of it are the issues of life. But then you go in to study it a little further, and the word keep and guard means to it means to actually hold on. Let me just go there. I don't want to mess it up. I did a study of this word study on this a long time ago, and I want to make sure I get it. Here it is right here. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 23. No, actually, that's not the verse. I'm sorry. Proverbs 4:23. Go ahead and turn there. We'll go there. I was going to do that later on, but I'm going to do that now. I'm going to show you. This is very interesting. Listen to this. This is really cool. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, you need to understand this. The word guard and keep, it means to obey. Listen to this. It means to obey. It means to protect. It's your responsibility to protect what you think. It also means, listen, this is really cool. This is where it kind of plays in. It means to watch. You're the watcher. It means watcher. It means watchman. You're the watcher of your own thoughts. Listen to me. Watch this. Here's what I'm trying to say. You are the gatekeeper of your own thoughts. You have the awesome responsibility of allowing pure thoughts in and keeping impure thoughts out. It is your responsibility. It's my responsibility to protect what comes into our heads and comes into our minds. That's why it's very important. You know, my daughter, she's innocent, she's pure, and she's going to stay that way. It's my responsibility to make sure that her thought life, of what she is exposed to, is clean, it's pure, it's holy. Now listen to me. Let me say this. The outer world of circumstance is trying to press itself to your inner world of thought. I'm not trying to get deep with you. Just listen to what I just said. The outer world of circumstance is trying to press itself into your inner world of thought. The things, the circumstances that you go through is trying to bring fear, trying to bring doubt, trying to bring things so that it shapes your character. It shapes who you are. It's trying to press into you. And God's word is for us to get in us so that we can manifest what is in us. The word of God in the natural realm. Listen to this. I'm going to give you some more nuggets. If you sow a thought, you reap an act. If you sow an act, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a lifestyle. If you sow a lifestyle, you reap a character. It's a process. It takes time to build your character. But it's very important how you build. It's very important what you sow. Listen, God showed me this too a long time ago. Let's see if I can get this right without having to refer to that. What you shine, if we were to cut this lights off. Actually, I was going to get a flashlight, and I was going to turn around, and I was going to get them and cut the lights off, and I was going to shine at that banner. But what you shine is what you what? See. What you see is what you think. If the lights were off, we would see that. We would think, okay, so that's a banner. What we think is then turned into what we say. Because then we would think, oh, yeah, that's a banner. Then we would say, yes, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, Jesus is Lord. So there's a process. So what you shine is what you see. What you see is then what you think. What you think becomes what you say. What you say turns into what you do. What you do becomes your character. It's a process. It turns into a habit. A habit turns into a character. That's why actions don't happen without thoughts. But it's all started with what you thought, what you focused upon. I think that's so interesting. It really is. You get to thinking about it. It's very interesting of the thoughts that you think on a daily basis. Think about your own thoughts. What do you think about on a daily basis? Do you think that you're going to go under? Do you think that you're not going to be a success? Do you think that, you know, you're poor? What do you think? Are those thoughts that you want to grow? Are those thoughts that you want to reap? Guys, listen to me. We all have thoughts on a daily basis. And how many of you have positive, godly thoughts every single moment of your life? It's impossible. You're not going to have. Because there's a devil out there. And we live in this flesh. We're going to have thoughts. We're going to have things. But we have to captivate those thoughts. bring, we have to arrest those things and begin to speak God's word and replace those thoughts with God's word so that we can counteract that and we can develop a habit of thinking the way God thinks. And if we'll do that, it's a discipline. How many of you know that, guys, listen to me, you know what I'm learning in the Christian life and just in life in general? It's one of my greatest revelations. Seriously, my greatest revelation I've learned about life. Life is a discipline. It's a discipline. If I'm going to accomplish anything in life, I'm going to have to be disciplined at it. Seriously. Prayer, discipline. Reading the Word, discipline. How many read the Word on a regular basis? I mean, it's just like clockwork. You just read. You just have a See, probably some of us may miss 3 or 4 days or whatever before we read. I'm just saying, it's a discipline. Everything you do in life is discipline. It's developing a pattern of just habits. You know, like I lift weights. All my whole life, guys, listen to me. I'm telling you this because this is what I'm learning. This is just really neat from my life and what I'm learning. All my life, I've been a quitter up to the point that I got saved. I was a quitter in everything I did. I know it's impossible. You don't think that's, you know, but I know. It's the way it was. I quit everything. I quit. It get hard, I quit. My thinking process I was programmed. Do you know that we're programmed in a lot of areas of our lives? Yeah, you're programmed by your past has a lot to do with it. That's why you have to change it. You have to change the program. And God's given us that, told us how to change it, to change the program. I was programmed that I would always be poor. We were poor. I lived in a little storefront, surrounded by lawnmowers. Slept with my mom and dad. I was 9 or 10 years old, still sleeping with mom and dad in this one bed. We didn't have sewer. Yeah, we had sewer. We didn't have electricity. We didn't have water. I didn't have any of that. There was no reason why we shouldn't have. But my dad lived. Now listen to this. Your thinking affects everybody. Because my dad lived poor. He had a mentality he was always be poor. And then it rolled into my life. And I thought the same thing. And if I hadn't met Jesus Christ as my Savior and really got a hold of some truth, I would have been living, duplicating, and reciprocating his life. It just would have continued. So it's just critical that you get a hold of your thinking and stop. And you're not poor. You can make it. You can be successful. You need to start saying that. But in order for you to begin to say it, you're going to have to see it. You're going to have to see it that you're that way and begin to think it. Think on you paying your bills off. Think on it. That's what God gave you imagination for. A creative, an imagination that is just thinks and then pictures yourself being debt free. Because that's one of my dreams. That's one of my realities. It's going to come to pass pretty quick. I'm debt free. I'm debt free. I see it. It's coming. But you got to think it. If you don't think it, it won't become a reality. You know, why does an anorexic person think they're... What does an anorexic person think? They're fat. Well, it is a spiritual problem, but they need to change the way they think. Why does a poor man think they're poor? Or why are they poor? Because they have a problem with their thinking they're poor. So you see, listen to me. If you never change your thinking mentality, you'll continue to live in that poverty reality. You got to change the way you think about things. It's all in the way you think. Then you begin to, after you get a process of thinking that way, you begin, yes, you use your confession. You begin to put your words to it. I am debt free. I am debt free. But see, by you confessing it, you're thinking it. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You're hearing yourself say that. So you're thinking that. You're thinking that. And you begin, it creates an image on the inside of you that's greater than your experience or what you're seeing. And that's why you have to begin to say it. That's why you have to begin to think it. Because if you never think it, it'll never come to words. And your words will never change it. If you don't do that. You got to put it into practice. Put it into practice. Begin to say it. Begin to think it. And see it come to pass. See it come to pass. All right. Psalms 119, 130. You don't have to turn there. But the Bible says that, Psalms 119:130 says that thoughts, your thoughts have access to the entrance of your heart. That's very interesting. Your thoughts have access to the entrance of your heart. Remember, you're the gatekeeper of your life. You're the gatekeeper of your thoughts. You have that responsibility to shut them, to turn them down, turn them away. Those thoughts that doesn't line up with God's word. Turn those, just cast them down. Step on them. And turn away from them. All right. Praise God. Let's see. Hallelujah. Turn to Colossians, just a few more scriptures. Colossians 3:2. Hallelujah. My Bible's falling apart. Look at that. Isn't that crazy? I need tape. You got tape? Hallelujah. All right. Colossians 3:2. You know, I think for the most part, you know, as a lot, even as Christians, we've stopped dreaming. We've stopped dreaming. We need to dream. We really need to dream. God is looking for some dreamers. Somebody to dream big. We think too small. We got to dream big. You know, I think, you know, a lot of us want our bills paid. That's good. It's good to have your bills paid. But let's dream. Let's dream of what we can do for the church. Let's dream. Let's begin to dream of what we can do. Listen to me. Dreams are the seeds to reality. Dreams are the seeds to reality. You just got to begin to start dreaming. You'll start dreaming big. You think, well, that's just too far-fetched. I just don't think I'll ever achieve that. Well, if your confession, you will have what you say. You have what you say. But start dreaming about your bills being paid. Start dreaming about you blessing other people. Start dreaming about you being able to go on missions trips or whatever it is your heart desires. Dream. Dream. I think what we try to do is figure out how we're going to get there. Don't we? We try to figure out how am I going to do that? That's just not reality. That's just not feasible. That's just not going to, doesn't, in the natural, it doesn't make sense. But God is wanting us to dream. Dream big, and He'll tell us and He'll show us how to get there. He just wants somebody to dream. He just wants some dreamers. Somebody to dream really big for Him, and He'll make it come to pass. I'm dreaming big. I'm learning that. I'm learning that. You know, I've been Christian 10 years, I guess. Going on 11, I guess. I'm learning to dream. I haven't been dreaming big enough. I haven't been setting my vision out there big enough. And it's changing. Got to change that. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:2. A few more scriptures. We'll wrap it up. Verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, I think the old man, that old man that tries to resurrect itself in our lives and tries, it limits us to what we believe. And we start thinking naturally and carnally instead of spiritually. And that's why he says, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above, heavenly things, the way God operates. God's not poor. God's not broke. God's not sick. So let's focus our mind on things above. Let's reach that realm of where God is. That ability. Let's tap into that power, that ability where God is. So that we can accomplish those things here on the earth. But if you can't do it by setting your mind on the things of the earth, it won't happen. It can't work. But let's dream. Let's get our focus. Let's look higher. Let's look to the hills from which cometh our help. And let's seek God. And we can do it. We can dream bigger than we have been. Hallelujah. Praise God. Philippians 4:8, and we'll close with this. Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, my brethren, or brethren, whatever things are pure, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. The word meditate means ponder, means think about, think on, means to, you know, just imagine those things, speak those things. It literally means to speak those things. So we need to, what are the things we need to think on? Things that are lovely, things that are of a good report, things that are just, things that are praiseworthy, things that are of virtue, things that are pure. You know, if you focus on things that are pure, you'll reap pure things. If you focus on impure things, you reap impure things. It's just the principle of what you reap what you sow. It's seeds. Everything is seeds. And your mind is the garden. You can liken your mind to a garden. What are you planting in it? What are you sowing in it? Is it God's word? Is it the world? You know, that's what the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So let's not love the things of this world. Let's love God's word, and let's plant and sow his word into our minds and meditate on the things of God. You know, if we'll meditate on the things of God, we won't have time to think on the things of the world. We won't have time to sin. We won't have time to do anything, to believe anything the devil tells us. If we're so saturated in this and have our minds on him, Isaiah 26:3 says, great peace have they whose minds is stayed on him. That's exactly what we need to do, is keep our minds on him. Stay focused on him. Don't be distracted by what we see in this world. Stay focused on him. Meditate on the things that are just and pure and lovely and of good report. That's why I don't watch the news. Guys, I don't even have cable. Why am I paying for something? Now, there's good things on there. I'm not saying it's all bad, but I'm not going to pay for something. You know, especially because I like watching the news sometimes. I like to learn about some things in the world. But most of what you see is all negative. It's learning about what the devil did that day. It's exactly what the news is to me. It's about learning what the devil did today. Because it's usually murder, and there's more of that stuff on there than there is good. So I'm not going to meditate on those things. I don't watch scary movies. I can't stand scary movies. I used to when I was a kid, before I was saved. Give me Friday, what is it? Friday, Friday 13th. But there's also, Nightmare on Elm Street and all that stuff. Man, I liked that stuff when I was a kid, but I can't stand it now. I can't be around it for 5 minutes, 1 minute. I don't like it. I don't like it. You know, the Bible says avoid the very appearance of evil. Well, I don't like those things. It just doesn't interest me one bit. And I thank God there's a lot of changes have taken place since I got saved. Obviously, you too. And so I just don't like to focus my attention or my thoughts on those things because I know what the capability of what it can do. The seeds that I would be sowing by allowing my mind to be entertained by those things. So it's just what I just want to challenge you is watch your thinking. Thinking is very, very important. Your thought life. The battle is in the mind. That's where the devil really tries to put you. You know, the devil has, 2,000 years to study us, mankind? Hadn't he? Yeah, 2,000 years to study mankind. And I'm only 31 years old. He's got it figured out pretty good, I'm sure, by now, of how to really reach people and really to mess with us and stuff. But we've got something greater than the devil. Greater is he that is in us and he that is in this world. But I want you to just know that the Bible says, Paul said, I'm not ignorant of Satan's devices, his plans, his plots. I know how he operates. I know how he functions. Now, we don't need to go talk about the devil a lot, but we do need to be aware of how he operates. And he operates, he likes to mess with your mind and really get you thinking fear, doubt, all those things, and trying to get you to conform your thinking to the way he thinks. And so, because he is the father of this world. So, bow heads. Father, we just thank you. I just praise you, Father God, that you love us, God. And Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Father, I thank you for this subject on thoughts, God, that you help us, Father God, to focus on you and on a daily basis. And Father, if there's any areas of our lives that are being attacked in this area of thoughts, God, that by your Spirit, God, you would strengthen us, that you would cause your word to come alive to us, that we would take your word, Father God, and apply it and begin to speak it and begin to saturate ourselves and fill our minds with your word. And so I just honor you and I thank you so much, God, for these people. Father, I thank you, Father, for healing in their minds. I thank you, Father God, for strengthening them, God. I thank you, Father God, for just manifesting yourself to them in a greater way, Father God. That your word, like I said, Father, comes alive to them. That it'll just touch and transform and change their thinking. That they would come higher, Father. That they would come higher in their thinking. And to think like you think, Father, to get the results that you want us to accomplish. And so we just praise you and we honor you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen.